Well, I want to thank Dwayne and Faith Sear last week for standing in for us. I know they did a great job. Hallelujah. Appreciate that so much, guys. And we had a good time. My glasses over there. I'm going to need those. Thank you, baby. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Well, we've been talking about reigning in life through Jesus Christ. We've been talking about the power of God's grace. Let me just catch us up because we skipped a week there. We said that it is about receiving and not achieving. Amen? It is receiving what Jesus purchased for us through Calvary, His death, His burial, His resurrection. That is what Christianity is all about. That's where the victory is. That's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. Notice what Jesus said. He said, come to me all you that labor and are heavy laden. Amen. He said, weary, tired. He said, I'm going to give you rest. And you know, the problem is, so much of what we call Christianity is not giving people rest. It's giving them condemnation. It's giving them guilt. It's making them feel inferior. It's making them feel like they're no good. Are you listening? And remember, we said that the Bible said about Jesus, it says that when he had finished making sacrifice for sin, once for all time, he sat down. And remember, we said when you sit down, you don't sit down until the job's done. So once he sat down, it's finished, isn't it? I said, it's finished, isn't it? Amen? Now, Brother Dwayne, you're in construction. If you work on a house, and finally they sign off that thing, it's done, everything's been checked, it's been done, do you keep going back to that house? No, it's finished. You move on to the next one. It's finished. It's done. There's no more work to be done. It's ready to be occupied. Amen? And I want to tell you, Jesus has finished your salvation. It's just ready to be occupied. All you got to do is occupy it. Amen? Hallelujah. We talked about that. We talked about law versus grace. It's works versus faith. Amen? But if the Bible is clear. By the keeping of law, what? No one can be justified. So why are you trying to keep it? Amen? And you know, and we've got laws that are, you know, traditions of men, laws that we built up in the church over time that we think, oh, this, you better do this or you better do that, or you got to look a certain way, dress a certain way, act a certain way, do this or do that, you know, otherwise you're not as holy as we are. Amen? You know what holiness is? Holiness is just this. It's very simple. Just abide in Him. You abide in Him, you'll be holy because He's holy. Isn't that right? Amen. Don't worry about other people's opinions. Just worry about His opinion. Amen. So we said that God has given us the gift of righteousness, and God sees us in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Bible says your life is hidden in Christ. You know why God did that? So that every time He goes to look at you, all He sees is Jesus, because you're hidden. All your flaws, all your wrinkles, all that stuff, Gary. It's hidden. Why? Because He sees Jesus. You're hidden in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's a good place to be hidden. Amen. And then we said, what we've got to begin to do is live like the cross is really true. Live like the cross is really true. Now let's pick it back up. Turn in Romans chapter 5. Because we're talking about reigning in life. Hallelujah. God wants you to rule and reign in life. Amen. He doesn't want you struggling. He doesn't want you living a life that you're always feeling condemned and guilty, like you're coming up short, like you don't measure up, like you're no good. Right. Are you listening? Yes. All of that's been done away with. Remember we read over there in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, if any man, any person be in Christ, what? He is a brand new. Brand new, brand new, brand new, not refurbished, brand new, not remodeled, brand new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all these things are from God. Didn't say one of them was from you. Not one. I said, not one. Not one. God don't need your help in this area. Are you listening? You know what God's looking for is your faith. Faith that leads to obedience. And if you have faith that leads to obedience, then you know what? You'll be on the receiving end of all this grace. Romans 5, let's begin reading verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of the trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Remember, we talked about that. Listen, I didn't have any say-so about, pardon me, being born a sinner. I had no say-so in that. I had no say-so in Adam's disobedience way back there in the garden. Amen. I wasn't around. I couldn't say, hey, don't do it, dummy. Don't do it. You'll regret. Don't do it. You weren't there either, were you? And that's what he said. He said, just like through one man, sin came into the world. Therefore, what? Sin came on all men. Why? Because we all came out of Adam and Eve, didn't we? He said, in the same way, just as you had nothing to do with that, in the same way that now that Jesus has come, righteousness, the free gift of righteousness, justification, forgiveness, the new birth, all of that comes through what? One man, Jesus Christ. And just as you had nothing to do with the sin part, you had nothing to do with the righteousness part. Boy, that ought to make you happy. Amen. This is what we've got to get across to us. Religion tells us you've got to measure up. That's what the law says. The law says that. The Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. Boy, you want to have a battle with sin? You keep trying to live under some self-imposed religious law. I'm telling you, you'll never know a minute's peace of rest and freedom. Because he said, the law is what gives sin its strength. And yet, what have we done in the church? And you know, sometimes in the church, bless our heart, you know, we've been all afraid of the message of grace. Oh, if you preach that grace, man, they'll sin up a storm. They'll just sin like, no, that's not what, then your Bible's different from mine. Because my Bible says that when we get under grace, that sin shall no longer have dominion over us. Isn't that right? Now remember, I'm talking about grace. I'm not talking about Greece. Maybe you've got a different opinion, understanding of what grace is. Grace has power. Grace transforms. Grace delivers. Grace opens up the great bounty of heaven. It opens up all the resources of the living God to pour into your life. That's what grace does. Grace is not God just winking at it. Well, no. Grace is God's power to do something. Verse 20. The law was added. Why? So that the trespass might increase. In other words, anytime you add the law, guess what's going to happen? Sin is going to increase. And what the reason God gave the law was so that everyone could see how needy they were. The law is, look at it this way. The law is like a mirror. Because we know the law is good and righteous. God's law, isn't it? But here's the thing. The law is like a mirror, and that's why God gave it. When you looked into the mirror this morning, you know, you saw what you saw. Isn't that right? I mean, you could get mad at the mirror. You could bust the mirror all up. You could do whatever you wanted to do. But listen, the mirror is just reflecting what's there. It didn't make you that way, did it? And no matter how much you look in the mirror, it won't make you younger, more handsome, more beautiful. The mirror has no power to. All it does is reflect what is the facts. Isn't that right? That's what the law does. Whenever you start reading the law, dwelling on the law, looking at the law, it's like you looking in that mirror and you staring. You know, if you stare long enough, you can start seeing everything that's wrong, every little flaw. And that is what religion tries to do to us. Look at this, look at this. See how you don't measure up? 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 And you just live under that all the time. That's not grace. Grace presents a different mirror. Grace presents the mirror of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to look into Him. We are to look into His face. Isn't that what the Scriptures say? As we look into the face of Jesus, we are transformed from glory to glory. Jesus is the new mirror, not the law. I look into Jesus. I look at, and listen, that's how God sees us. He's looking in to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, yes, I see no flaw. I see no wrinkle. I see no sin. I see no shortcoming. I see a son. I see a daughter. I see an heir. Yes. Hallelujah, Gary. This is the gospel. Gospel means good news. The law was added, what, so that the trespass might increase. In other words, God says, okay, some of you are, you know, are so self-righteous, you think you're so this and that, just wait till you start, you know, it's just, I want to tell you what, you ever seen, you know, I don't read them anything, but I have to stand in line at the grocery stores, and you know, they always got these magazines up there, you know, tabloids, thank you, you know, and all this stuff. You ever seen them where they, you know, they catch some of these movie stars without their makeup on? Oh, my God. So it's scary. I'm thinking, dear Lord, if I had the makeup, if they could do a makeup job on me like they do for your for all your publicity shots in your movies, man, I could be handsome too. Cause man, there's a few flaws I see there. There's a few pimples. There's some red places there. Oh man, come on. And see, when we look in the law, that's all it is. It's like looking, you know, it's like that, those stars looking, you know, in the mirror without their makeup on. It can be scary. But when we look into the perfect law of liberty, when we look into the face of Jesus Christ, when we look into the word of the gospel of grace, of truth, we see ourselves as we really are. We see ourselves as we really are, brand new, transformed, in Christ, made righteous, heirs of all that God has. He said, but where sin increased, how did it increase? When we started looking into the law. You go home, I challenge you today, you know, if you got some spare time on your hands, go home and just stare in the mirror for about 10, 15 minutes, stare at your face. You'll see things you never knew were there. And the longer you would do that, the more you would see, wouldn't you? That's what he's saying. He said when the law was given, he said sin just showed up all the more. It didn't cause the sin, but it showed it up. So the more you look into the law, I got news for you. The more you're going to, the devil is going to show you what's wrong with you. He said, but grace increased all the more. How does grace increase in our life? When we start looking into this book. Turn over just a minute. This wasn't where I'm going, but I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost and not my notes. Let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's the thing this morning I ask you. What are you looking into? If you're looking into to the law, whether it be the law of Moses, the law of the Ten Commandments, or the law of traditions of your church body or whatever it's been taught to you, if you're looking into that, I can guarantee you this, that all you're going to see is an increase of sin, the activity of sin in your life, the power of flesh in your life. But he said, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So here's the thing. Get this. He's bringing out there in Romans a contrast. So that just as we look into the law and it reveals sin, when we look into Jesus, it's going to reveal grace. And the more I look into Jesus, the more I look at who I am in Jesus, the more the grace of God is going to be revealed and released into my life to bring about and help me to understand that transformation of a brand new creature. Look there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. How can we have too much grace? It's impossible. Exactly right, huh? Be yours what? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice he didn't say through the knowledge of the law. He didn't say through the knowledge of the Ten Commandments. He said, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power, now notice, whose divine power? God's divine power, has given us everything we need. Everything we need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you need for this Christian life, everything you need to please God, everything you need to be victorious, everything you need to live a life of triumph over the devil. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He didn't call you because of your glory and goodness. By His own glory and goodness He called you. Through these, what? This power, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Oh my goodness. You know what you have in you? You have in you the divine nature of God. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, where did it say anything about you? You feel like it. Feel like it's those old emotions in the flesh. Remember, we've talked about that. That stuff is still, it's still laboring under the law. And the Bible says the law was good, but the law could not justify anybody because of the weakness of the flesh. Your flesh can't keep the law. Never could, never will, never has been, and it's just forget it. Notice what it says here. He says that through these you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. As we look into the perfect law of liberty, James says, as we look into this message of the grace about the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His redemption in our life, you know what? We become transformed. We begin to reflect more and more that divine nature that is in us, placed in us at the new birth. And God says, this is how grace will increase in your life. Stop looking at all the flaws and start looking at His perfection. Stop looking at all your weaknesses and begin to look at His perfection, His strength. Amen? I'm trying to help you. See, I mean, it just, when Rick read that in Psalm 100 this morning, it just really struck me. He said, for it is God who has made us and not we ourselves. Listen, God's not looking for self-made Christians. He's not looking for you to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We see, that's a lot of our American culture has gotten into the church. You know, I was taught growing up, man, I mean, you know, you need to be a self-made man. If you got, I mean, you got any respect, any pride about you, you're gonna reach down, and it doesn't matter what you face in life. Bless God, if you're a real man, you're gonna be able to pull yourself up and pull yourself out and put yourself over. I don't know what your experience has been, but I did my best, but it didn't work for me. How about you? But I'll tell you what, when I allowed and received the grace of God in my life, something happened, something transformed, and a process has begun. And every day I'm going from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Every day I'm seeing the grace of God released in my life and revealing more of that divine nature. Amen? That's where I want to be. All right, turn over to Romans 4 just for a minute or two here. Get back on track here. Romans 4. I would encourage you, we could spend weeks just on there in 1 Peter, but you need to read on that. He says that by the promises of God, we receive His grace. Look at it this way. Every promise of God reveals a facet of the grace of God. Because every promise that you receive by faith through grace. Amen? The forgiveness of sins and the new birth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Healing for your body. Amen? Provision for your life. Peace for your soul. deliverance from the work of the enemy. Every one of what it comes by these all of these divine promises as I receive them by faith, as I embrace the light, as I embrace the grace of God, then what happens is that those promises begin to what reveal the fullness more and more of that divine nature that God has put within me. Man, you ever seen one of these big cut diamonds, you know, diamond rings, you know? They got the faceted, you know, all these different facets where they've been cut, you know, and everything. And any which way they move, they reflect the light, don't they? And every facet has its beauty and its glory. Same way with God's promise. Every promise of God, it's like when you turn the Word of God and all those promises, it's like every facet is like a flash of the grace of God. It's revealing something of the nature of God and the life of God. And He says all of that has been given to you. Amen. I want to talk a little bit out of Romans 4 about the principle of law versus grace. Law versus grace. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, I wasn't brought up in church, and so, you know, I didn't know a lot of stuff about all the church stuff, you know, what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it, and you wasn't supposed to do it this way and all of that. And I thank God that I wasn't. Yeah. I had enough to overcome. I didn't need that too. I had plenty of other stuff. Don't worry. You know. But here's the thing, in the church sometimes we don't understand this principle. So I want us to read here, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Listen, your faith in Jesus has been credited, what it has caused there to be a credit to your account. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. I mean, it would be like if you got, a message, an email, or on your BlackBerry, or in the mail, however you get your messages nowadays, and the bank says there has been credited to your account $10,000. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, now what would you, your first thought would be, boy, I wonder how that got there. Isn't that right? And somebody says, well, don't worry. You check with the bank. It's the real deal. It's there. It's yours. It's in there. It's yours. So what would you do? Would you say, well, you know what? Honey, we're not going to spend a dime of this until we both work long enough so that we can feel like we have earned this $10,000. But yet, what do we do in the church? The Bible says you've been freely justified. But we tell everybody, hey, I know God said that, but I'm telling you what, I'm looking at you, and I'm telling you, you don't look too hot. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to go look in that same mirror. You might not look too hot either. But listen, don't look at that. Look at them in Christ Jesus. He said, Abraham here, he said, it wasn't Abraham's works. It wasn't because Abraham was better than you that God blessed him. It wasn't that Abraham had something in himself as a man that was unique to him and nobody else had it, so nobody else could have that blessing. But how many times do we look at people and we say that? Oh, well, I know God's going to bless Joyce Myers, or God's going to bless Brother Copeland, or whoever it is, or Brother Billy Graham. After all, I mean, look, listen, all they've done is discovered what we're talking about here. They've discovered the grace, the divine nature, and instead of looking to themselves, they have looked to the power of God within them by the grace of God, and that grace has worked a mighty work of transformation. And this is where Abraham started. Abraham didn't start out justified. He had to be justified by faith. It says, Abram believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So when you believe God, what is it credited to you? Righteousness. Why? Because the Bible says we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Actually, you know, our covenant, the new covenant, also embraces the Abrahamic covenant. Because Abraham was justified 400 years before the law was even given. There was no law given to Abraham. God didn't sit down and say, okay, Abraham, here's what you got to do. And he write that. No, that came on Mount Sinai. It says Abraham believed God. It was credited to him. You believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. It's credited to you what? As righteousness. Now go back to my illustration, the $10,000 that was credited to you in the bank. Now if you're smart, and I know you are, then bless God, you know what? You're gonna partake of that $10,000, aren't you? Whether you invest it, whether you spend it, whatever you do, but you're gonna grab hold of that $10,000 that was credited to you. You're not going to have to fear that the police are going to come down and lock you up because you spent that money or invested that money. You're not going to have to worry about that you're going to have to pay it back. You're not going to lay awake at night at that. The same way, he said, God has credited righteousness to you, to your account. It's God's righteousness. It's perfect righteousness. It's complete righteousness. It's full righteousness. And God's not going to come and take it back. Glory to God. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are made a new creature in Christ. You are a partaker of the divine nature. Man, I don't make you can stand up big, can't you? Verse 4. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. See, if you can earn it, then God owes it to you. And if God owes it to you, then you got something to brag about. I mean, you're right up there. If you could do that, then you'd be right up there with Jesus. If you could earn it, you'd be right up there with Jesus. But the Bible says this is concluded that since all men are under sin, then God's going to justify everybody the same way, free. Nobody could pay for it, so everybody's going to get it free. Wow, God's good, isn't he, Gary? Man, I'm telling you what. I'm glad he didn't say, you know, everybody that's 6 foot and taller. I'm glad he didn't say everybody was certain that this, that, or the other. You know, he just said, look, you're all in the same boat, so you're all going to get delivered the same way. It is receiving, not achieving. And remember, what the way God started his work in you is the way we are to live this Christian life. Many times, you know, we tell the sinner, oh, yeah, God's grace is free. You come right on. You come to Jesus. He will not turn you away. He's not going to count your sins against you. He's not mad at you. No, you just come. He's going to freely forgive you. He's going to freely receive you. He's going to give you a brand new life. Something to that effect, don't we? And I mean, they may say, but you just don't know what I've done, Brother Rick. You just don't know how bad I've been. And you know, what would you tell them? You'd say, well, I guess you're not one. No, you'd say, hey, it doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. Yeah. But yet when we get in the church is the problem. You get in the church, you got to jump through all these hoops we got in our church. Because we don't care what God says about you. We got to put our approval. You might meet God's approval, but bless God until you meet mine. Come on. Isn't that true? Listen, God's at work in them. And we need to introduce them to an understanding of the grace of God that's in them. And then we'll begin to see some outward transformation. But it starts on the inside, the work of grace, and works to the outside. Law always starts on the outside, but it can never change the inside. You know, it's kind of like this thing, you know, nowadays, you know, a lot of places, houses and buildings and all, you know, they've got the mold and all that stuff, you know, they're in the walls. And, you know, you can go and you can paint over it. But you know what? The effects of it's still there. I said the effects of it are still there. You can whitewash it. You can paint it. You can do it. And that's all the law can do. All the law can do is just, with the law, whatever law it is that we're trying to do, all it can do at best is do a temporary whitewash of the exterior actions of a person. But God says, I'm looking for heart transformation. And it begins on the inside out. He says, now, when a man's works, his wages are credited to him not as a gift but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked. Boy, I tell you what, when I saw that, I shouted, man, years ago, because I fit that wicked. You know what wicked means? It means crooked. Twisted, crooked. This is exactly right. It's where we get the word wicker furniture. You know, it's all woven, twisted together. Wicked is crooked. God says he justifies the wicked. I could understand if God said, I justify the good man. Now, I could have grabbed that. But he said, I justify the wicked. Wow. This grace is something else, isn't it? He says, David says this, and his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks to the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. But before. The law did not bring righteousness to Abraham. Keep your place there, but turn over to Galatians just a minute. I want to look at a couple of scripture verses there to help amplify on this. You see, when you really get into the message of grace, it takes faith. Because it's hard because of the way we've trained ourselves not for us to try to help God. We've been taught we must help God. Isn't that true? So we're straining, we're struggling, and most of the time we're getting in God's way. Isn't that true? We come under some self-imposed laws, traditions of men. What did Jesus say about the laws and traditions of men? He said they make the word, the truth of God, the grace of God to none effect. You cannot live under the law and grace at the same time. You can't do it. And if you try, you're going to be most miserable. Verse 6, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Hallelujah. You are blessed with Abraham, the man of faith. Sin separates, but listen, when the wall of separation, sin is removed, then we are what? United with God through His Son. The law will always separate you from God. That's all it can do. It's not the law's fault. Nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with us. As soon as we hook up and make the law our partner in this Christian walk, then you're going to be doomed for a time of condemnation, of guilt, of never feeling like you measure up. What, you know, because that's what the law requires. The law says more, 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 do more, do better than better, do best, do better than the best, do better than the best of the best. That's all the law will say. Why? Because the law reflects the perfection of God. And so if you're going to try to be perfect like God is perfect in your own power, that's all you're ever going to hear is you didn't make it, try again. You didn't make it, try again. You didn't make it, try harder, do more. Come on. And I want to tell you what, you don't want to go down that path. You know what? The reason God gave that is so that at some point we would all just throw our hands up and say, God, I can't do it. And God said, hallelujah. He finally got it. He finally got it. He can't do it. He finally got it. And you know, it takes some Christians sometimes a while to finally just get it. And I hope by this teaching, in this series, that will help you, if you need to get it. That you can't do it in your own strength. Abraham didn't do it in his strength. David didn't do it in his strength. None of those in the hall of faith over there in Hebrews 11 did it in their strength, and you're not going to do it in yours. Didn't he say in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord? What is that? Grace. the grace of God. Amen. You're there in Galatians. Look at verse 29. He said, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. What is the promise? Well, part of the promise is this, that you, your faith will be credited by God as righteousness. Hallelujah. You know what that means? God is not mad at you. There is no, you are not under any judgment. Are you listening? There's no judgment against you. You know, when I go home this afternoon, if I decide to and I want to take a nap or something, you know, I'm not worried about anybody coming to get me. I don't have any judgments against me. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that right? I have no judgments against me. I haven't broken any law. Hallelujah. I'm free. See, that's the way we are to be in Christ. I haven't broken any law because I'm not under the law. Are you listening to me? Where there is no law, there is no transgression. So God in Christ fulfilled the law, took it away from us, credited our faith for righteousness through his grace. So now we're not under the law. That means what? There's no writ against us. Boy, God's got a great legal mind, doesn't he? Woo, man. To figure out all this tangle of mess that Adam got us in, and God figured out how to do it, and still be love, still be grace, still show mercy, but yet still be righteous. Woo! You know, you deal in the natural with judges every day. That's a battle a lot of judges deal with. How do I execute judgment and yet try to show some mercy to help this person maybe rehab or something? And boy, that's a difficult thing to do in the natural, isn't it? It's hard to know. Where's the line at here? But listen, God didn't just do that in one case. He did it for all our cases. Whew. The wisdom of God. Amen. Turn back over to Romans a minute. Romans 3. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Listen. Circumcision has to do with outward efforts to keep the law. Human effort. You know? And keep it, and God owes you something. But when we're justified by faith through the grace of God, then what? We know this, it's a gift. It's a gift. You know, when I have a birthday and my family gives me presents, you know what? I have no problem. Hallelujah. Just bring them on. Bigger and better. Isn't that right? We need to learn how to receive. We just need to learn how to receive. You say, oh, that's easy, that's simple. It not always, is it? I know it should be. I know that myself, but I know from my own personal experience, sometimes it's hard to receive. It's hard to receive from God. And the only way that it's going to come easier is as we grow in the knowledge of this word, of the covenant. We grow in the knowledge of the grace of God. And you know what? We really begin to plumb to some degree the depth of the love of God. You know, just when we've plumbed it and think, man, it's a mile deep. Wow. God says, hey, go for two. Oh, man, I don't know, Lord, two. Man, two, I don't know. 2 miles deep for the love of God. And you get two and God says, hey, go for four. Come on. And listen, you'll have to do this in the face of the devil and well-meaning people screaming at you. It's not that deep. It's not that deep. You know, some people think God's love is this deep. Like topsoil. Boy, once you get past that, you're out of the love of God now, buddy. Whack. Remember we read on a Wednesday night, we read over there, Paul said this, writing to the Ephesians, he said, I want you to know what is the height, the breadth, the depth of the love of God, which passes all understanding. And he said, when you begin to understand this, he said, then you will enjoy the richest measure of the divine presence in your life. Boy, I wouldn't mind having the richest measure, Gary. Now, you plumb the depth of that, and you tell me, how deep is it? How deep? You know, it's like you go outside this building. How far is up? Let's go up. How far is up? can't measure up, can you? You cannot measure up. That's the way God's love and God's grace is. And we need to understand that. Romans 3, let's look in verse 21. He says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. A righteousness from God apart from law has been made known. That's what I'm making known to you. A righteousness apart from the law. Apart from the law. Yeah, but I just think we need to keep the Ten Commandments. Apart from the law. If we will allow the nature of God, this grace of God, to work in us, then you know what? You'll keep the Ten Commandments, but not as some law imposed, but as a law of the Spirit written on the table of your heart. And then it will be natural. You know why a duck waddles and quacks? It's his nature. Amen. A duck's going to quack. A dog's going to bark. A cat's going to meow. Isn't that right? That's the way it is. It's its nature. We discover and begin to live out of the nature of the divine nature within us. And you know what? We're going to begin to walk in love. We're going to begin to walk in peace. We're going to begin to walk in joy. But see, this stuff from the outside, it wants to impose itself. You're not measuring up. You're not doing it right. And isn't it interesting? Because whoever's telling you you're not doing it right, they've got somebody telling them they're not doing it right. And the person that told them that told you is telling them. That's telling the other person that told them, told you, told them. And you go, you know. We need to understand how the devil works and not keep falling for it. Amen? Real quickly here, I've got to finish up. My goodness, where's the time go? Which has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God, now listen, this is as plain as it can be. This righteousness, apart from the law, from God, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, for there is no difference. What do you mean there's no difference? Every one of us were sinners. Every one of us missed it. I mean, you missed it by an inch. I missed it by 10,000 miles. You both missed it. It's not by degrees. It's just you miss it or you don't. Isn't that right? And he said, this faith, this righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So here's the thing today. Have you believed? Have you believed on the Lord? Then the Bible says God has credited that to you as righteousness. Now, as we look into this, we're going to discover how the grace of God begins to release its power and transform us from the inside out. How it begins to change our life, our circumstance. It changes us. It makes us where what we begin to reflect more and more the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to grow up into Him. We begin, like Peter said, we begin to really reflect and partake of that divine nature. Amen? And it's not through straining and groaning and grunting and working and striving and beating ourselves up and beating ourselves down and letting others do that to us as well. No. It's by faith. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. It is by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to have to stop there because I want us to have time for our communion today. So I'm going to ask the guys, if they will, to come and get ready, prepare ourselves for a time of communion here.